Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
Well, it's time for another hospice show, and we're very excited because we've got Rosie Deeds, who is the chaplain at the hospice, with us. You're not the only chaplain, though, are you, Rosie?
I'm the only full-time chaplain.
Right.
We have some volunteers, and we call on other people as required.
Because I saw some other people on the website as well. And Marion Tasker, of course, the wonderful Marion, is sitting next to you. And can we just ask you a little bit about what it's like at the hospice at this time of year? Is it a particularly difficult time of year for patients and their families?
I think Christmas is a really hard time for lots of people.
Yeah.
The thought of being on your own at Christmas, or if you've lost somebody over the year, you don't really feel like celebrating at all, do you? But life goes on, and I think the hospice is such a positive place that people
exactly.
who come there find encouragement and hope by being with other people.
Now, the hospice is open over the whole Christmas period, isn't it?
Yep, yes.
I know they do a wonderful Christmas lunch on Christmas Day, but Marion, you were saying that's fully booked now, is it?
It is. We've got 70 people coming.
70?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific, isn't it?
So we're at full capacity, but it is brilliant to be able to offer that and for people to come.
And is it mainly sort of families of people who are, you know, being treated at the hospice? Or?
It's a real mix. So,
right.
So it's a local community as well. So it's a real mix of different people.
And I know, I think it's the case, isn't it, that you wanted to come to the hospice on Christmas Day, you'd still be able to get drinks and snacks and things.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, if families do want to come, don't worry about booking for Christmas lunch, because you'll still be able to get something.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, well, stick with us. We're going to have some Jessie Ware now, and then we'd like to talk about perhaps a day in your life, if that's all right, Rosie.
Go on.
Yes, Jessie Ware. James and Judith here with the Hospice Show. We've got Marion and we've got Rosie in, and Rosie is the hospice chaplain. And Rosie, I just wanted to ask you, what is your normal day like? Or don't you ever have a normal day?
I think every day is different. It's a very reactive place, really. So
yeah.
I spend a lot of time being, really, and seeing how the day unfolds.
So, I mean, obviously there will be times when, you know, people die and you have to sort of take care, and relatives sort of arrive. And are you always there to sort of counsel the relatives, or are you on hand?
Both, really. I'm in 5 days a week, and as a chaplain, I do a lot of loitering with intent.
Right, yeah.
So I would walk through the ward, and if there's people who, family members or a patient who wants to have a chat, then I'll go and have a chat with them. Or I go to the John Cheverton Centre and sit and talk to people there.
Yeah.
It's all about building up relationships with staff, with families, with patients, and people getting to know me and trusting me and having conversations that perhaps they wouldn't have with other people.
So, Rosie, is this the first time you've worked in a hospice?
Yes, it is. I've just started in September, so I'm very new to the hospice world, but I've been a chaplain for a very long time. I came to this job from Coventry University, where I was a university chaplain for two and a half years.
See.
But before that, I was a prison chaplain for 16 years.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. In fact, I spent 5 years here on the prison chaplain.
Oh,
so,
did you?
Yeah.
So very different from working in a parish?
Yes. I had to do a curacy of 3 years when I was first ordained, but I had worked in a parish since off edge of the church, working where people are, and often in difficult circumstances, so with people who are homeless or
yes.
in prison. Or
So really working in the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in a very specific environment, and as you say, where people are going through a difficult time very often.
Yes.
Yes.
And I just wanted to ask, you know, are some people resistant? Do you find that everyone's pretty open?
I think people have a lot of baggage about religion and church quite often.
Yeah.
And so you have to get beyond that, hopefully by building up a relationship and a rapport with somebody. They see beyond whatever experience, because unfortunately some people have had, you know, negative experiences of religion. So I hope that by being alongside people and being approachable, people can see that... we could work together and have conversations that are beyond.
Well, that's great.
And I guess because you are based in the hospice, people don't see you as part of the institutional church.
Yes.
They see you as part of the hospice and rather as, you know, a member of the structure of the Church of England or wherever. So it's a much more personal thing, I guess.
It is a personal thing, and you're meeting people at their point of need. I don't want to denigrate the good work that lots of people of faith do, you know, and there's some wonderful clergy across the island and people of different faiths who provide a lot of support to people. And when people are at the end of life, they often look to their faith for support. Some people ask difficult questions about, you know, why is this happening to me? But for some people, they turn to beliefs to find comfort and solace in that.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it's a very, very rewarding job, but a very difficult one as well. I mean, do you go home in the evening feeling absolutely shattered every day?
No, I don't actually. I think from all the chaplaincy work that I've done, you have to learn boundaries, and I have a family at home, so I have to be, you know, mum when I get home as well.
Yeah.
So I do leave work and difficult situations behind, because otherwise you're overwhelmed, and I'm sure everybody who works at the hospice has to learn how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're human at the end of the day, and sometimes, it can be very sad, and you have to work through that yourself with supportive colleagues and, you know, good supervision and self-care as well.
And your first track is Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water. Why did he choose that?
It's a song I've loved for years. I think it was probably one of the first records that we ever had in our house, so that shows how old I am. but I think the words are wonderful. I think I suppose it's a bit of a chaplain song, a bridge. When you're weary and feeling small, when you're down and out, I'm there to be alongside you. And I suppose that in a way that's kind of what I see the role of a chaplain is doing.
Yeah, great. Okay, let's listen to that. And then when we come back, I just want to talk about how Lights of Love went, and also some maybe last-minute Christmas shopping ideas, because there are plenty of things at the hospice. And also, I know there's a wonderful exhibition at the hospice shop here in Newport with some fantastic art, and we're going to talk about that. Yeah, it's the Hospice Show. You were just listening to a wonderful Swedish carol, Nu tändes tusen ljus, which is Now a Thousand Candles Are Lit. And with me, there's Marianne Tasker and Rosie Deeds from the hospice. She's the chaplain. How did the Lights of Love service go? Because there were so many across the island, weren't there?
Yes, there were. It's a really island-wide phenomenon, really, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it is.
It was something that I haven't encountered before. So it was lovely for me to be part of. We started with the Lights of Love at the hospice.
Yeah.
So I think there must have been about 300 people there with the hospice choir singing.
Oh, that's nice.
One of the patients came out, and people who've lost people during the year, or people who've been connected with the hospice for ages. So that was outside, and the Christmas tree was lit up.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And did you go to all of the ones around the island? Or?
No, I couldn't go to all of them. But between us, there was representatives from the hospice at most of them. We had another big service at the Minster.
Fantastic,
And, you know, good turnout there with Godshill Primary School choir singing. So they were all lovely and very powerful, very meaningful for people.
No, that's lovely. And getting the community choir to sing, I know, is a joy, because they've sung for us. They're absolutely fantastic. And I understand you've got an idea for a Christmas present.
Yes, there's a CD. The choir went to Bristol to sing with other hospice choirs and choirs with a purpose.
Yeah.
And they produced a CD. So if you are running out of ideas for Christmas presents and want to get something at the last minute, I can highly recommend the CD that our choir is singing two songs on, but there's other choirs with a whole range of songs. It's not a Christmas CD, but it's beautiful music, so it's well worth it. Go to choirswithapurpose.com.
I think I've got it up here on the website. Looks jolly good, actually. I know they had a wonderful day out in Bristol. Did you join
them? No, it was
them?
Before. It was just when I first arrived, and I think I'd missed the boat for going. But I do sing in the choir.
Yeah, I know, because we came to do that recording, didn't we, Flowers in the Rain. Yeah. I think you were singing in that.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh, are you? Mm. Good. So now, what else is going on at the hospice, Marianne? Because you were just talking about wonderful dresses. It's not the obvious place to go to buy a wonderful dress, is it?
Well, it isn't, but I just happened to wander in a shop, as I occasionally do, looking for last-minute Christmas presents and just seeing what was in there. And what I noticed was actually they got some really beautiful dresses. And I've noticed people sort of rushing in there and buying their outfits. So it's really worth a visit. And sometimes you can sort of like stumble across some really amazing finds.
Yeah, I agree. The hospice shops on the island are great. I can highly recommend the one in Bembridge. Mm. I know this isn't very seasonal, but they do tend to specialise in wedding hats. They always have a really good selection of wedding type hats in there, but also party frocks as well, because I've been lucky in there in the past with that. So,
yeah. And I've got an idea, but I think we'll get some music in first. You like Billy Joel, This Is My Life. Well, what's so great about Billy Joel then?
Various members of my family are very keen on him, and this is really for my daughter, who's an absolute fan. Went to see him with her dad last year, and knows all the words. So yeah. this is for my eldest daughter, Catherine.
Do you know that this is the only Billy Joel single I ever bought? So here we go. Absolute classic there. Billy Joel and My Life, as chosen by Rosie Deeds, who's with us in the studio. She's the chaplain at the Old Mountbatten Hospice. And we're talking about things that you can buy for Christmas, which will help out the Old Mountbatten Hospice as well. And interestingly, there's a new art gallery that's opened at the Mountbatten Hospice shop in Lugley Street. And we went in there because a friend of ours, Ricky Ashenola, told us he'd got some photographs on display, and they're absolutely wonderful. Some amazing photography, particularly at Newtown Creek, because he's done these birds. It's called Flock and Roll, and you can buy it for £50, and it would be really, really lovely in your home. It's a beautiful piece of artwork, and he's a very, very talented photographer. But there are other works there: Kelly Murdoch, Anne Lewis, Sam Phillips, and Reddick Gora as well. It's called the Zetam, or perhaps it's Zetam Art Gallery, and it launched on Saturday the 2nd of December. Not enough people know about it yet, so do get the word around. And next time you're in the Old Mountbatten Hospice shop in Lugley Street in Newport, do wander through to the back, because there are all these wonderful artworks for sale, and you get 25% off the sale price donated to the Old Mountbatten Hospice. So it's a very nice Christmas present, which means money's going to a good cause, and I can tell you the artworks are all superb. Now, other things to buy. There are calendars, aren't there?
I think.
And what else?
Diaries.
Yes. Anything else? No?
I think it's actually really nice to look around the hospice shop and get ideas. So maybe you could buy something like a really nice vase and fill it with sweeties and wrap it up and give it to somebody as a present. Sort of, so you can give a more personalised gift sometimes like that, I think.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk about Christmas carols as well. And Rosie, we were talking about the community choir. They're going to be singing tonight, aren't they?
They are singing tonight. It's open to friends and family to come along and to hear the choir sing. I think there'll be some refreshments as well. I think the centre is open from about 6:30, the choir singing at 7:00. So do come along if you want to come and have a pleasant evening at the hospice.
Well, it'll be very, very nice. I was actually blown away by the choir, because you've got about 50 members now, haven't you?
I think there's more than that. I think there's as many as 100 on the books. Not really? Not 100 comes at any one time, but it's a lovely choir, because you don't need to audition and you can come when you can, so there's not big pressure for people, and I think that's helpful in people's busy lives and things going on for them. So,
and we were talking about a typical day for you, Rosie, but Christmas days are obviously, you know, a special day for everybody. What are you going to be doing on Christmas Day?
Well, I'm going to be in the hospice on Christmas Day, and I'll be taking a service, a short reflective communion service at 11:30. So if anybody is wondering what to do on Christmas Day, because I know it can be a difficult day for people.
It can.
And sometimes people feel connected to the hospice in some way because they've had a relative who's died there, or they feel that they're on their own. So don't be on your own at Christmas. If you want to come and have a quiet service just to be peaceful in the chapel, in the hospice, you'd be very, very welcome.
No, that's very nice. It's not going to be a carol service, is it?
No,
it's just going to be a quiet service.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, we'll be back after some ads.
Christmas time on Vectis Radio, your community station, wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
And And we're here with Rosie Deeds, who is the chaplain at the Earl Mountbatten Hospice, and with Marion Tosca. And Rosie, that was used, I understand, in a video promoting the hospice recently.
Yes, if you watch the film about 35 years of the hospice, it uses that wonderful piece of music, which has always been a favourite of mine.
So. Yeah, fantastic. Well, I'm glad you chose that. Now, are you telling us off air about something very exciting you did recently? You've only been chaplain at the Earl Mountbatten Hospice for 3 months now, but already you conducted a wedding. Tell us about that. That sounds amazing.
Well, we had a patient who expressed a wish to marry her partner, and yeah. So when I came in one morning, I was hijacked by the doctor and a nurse saying this is what her wish had been,
yeah.
And could we organise it? Being new to the hospice movement, I hadn't got a clue what to do, so I contacted my previous colleague yes. at the hospital and who used to work at the hospice and said, yeah. What do I do? So I got in touch with the registrar and we had to take the paperwork down there, and within a day, I spoke to them at 9 o'clock in the morning, the registrar, and by 3:30 the registrar was able to come in and conduct the civil ceremony for the couple, which was absolutely wonderful.
That is fantastic.
And then the following day they'd asked for a blessing, so they invited friends from their local community in, and in the chapel we had a very moving blessing with the couple to
yeah.
support them.
Well, that's lovely. And I can't imagine you've done that many weddings, have you? Because you've been in a prison before that and a university as
yes.
well. So was that your first wedding?
Or? Well, it was actually. It was a blessing rather than actual weddings.
Yeah,
yes, so everything I'm doing is for the first time, so it's a very rapid learning curve for me, but
it must wonderful be very, very exciting.
Well, it's very moving and very humbling. You know, you're journeying with people at a very significant moment of their life journey, and it's very poignant and very powerful, but they're such wonderful people to work with.
Yes.
You know, it's a fantastic team. And for example, with the wedding, we had healthcare assistants rushing off to get flowers and
yeah.
getting shirts from the hospice shop for the couple to wear at the wedding, and you know, everybody pulled together, and it's real teamwork. It's just a wonderful environment to work in as well.
Oh, how lovely. And are there any sort of huge lessons from your previous jobs in the prison and at the university that you've brought over to this?
Well, I suppose every experience in life you build on and you take from one situation into another. I think working in the prison, you learn to be non-judgmental and accept people where they are,
yeah.
and whatever their life experience, just to be alongside them and to listen and to show love and compassion at that moment of their life.
Yeah, no, that's great. And one sort of final thing, Judith and I were just sort of wondering about if there's sort of Catholics or Methodists or you know, other churches, does that matter in terms of you providing people with guidance, or do they get their own ministry?
It's entirely dependent on the person's need. If they express a wish to see somebody of their own faith from their own faith community, a parish priest or a minister or a rabbi, then we would try and find somebody or make contact with them to let them know that they were needed at that particular moment. So that if that's what the person wishes, we'd do our best to find somebody. And if it's to have a conversation, then there's myself and colleagues around to just be there to listen and support them.
Yeah, okay, that's good to know. Well, I think the final thing we should say is the hospice is, of course, open over the Christmas period between Christmas and New Year, just as normal. So that if, you know, people have loved ones who are, you know, in the final stages of their life, nothing's going to change in terms of the care that they get at the hospice. And it is worth popping into the hospice, to the shop, or to any of the hospice shops around the island, in case you've got a few last-minute Christmas presents that you want to get. And don't forget, of course, that album that we mentioned earlier. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show, Rosie. Thank you very much for coming in. Marion, great pleasure as always. And Judith and I wish you both a happy New Year and a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, first of all. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best. I'll make my-